I just want to let this play for a couple minutes.
Are we muted?
Yeah, we're muted.
Are you sure? You're positive.
We're muted.
Yeah, they're muted.
Okay.
My cuss, I'm not dumb.
Am I introing us in?
You can, that's fine.
Don't call me a hockey head, though. All
right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Off the Pipes. I'm Michael Shuley. Alongside me, I have Greg Sutton and Matthew Simkovic. Boys, how are we doing today?
I'm doing phenomenal, Mikey. How are you, bud?
Oh, I'm doing quite well myself. Greg, how are you?
I'm feeling pretty good considering today's a quote-unquote snow day here at Robert Morris.
Absolutely no morning, no afternoon classes today.
Well,
but Greg,
they start at 6.
They start at 6.
Well, six.
Well, they evening classes, Greg. Evening classes.
Yeah, okay.
So are we ready to talk about some Robert Morris hockey today?
Let's get Epi 2 kicked off with a bang.
Let's get it started, boys.
All right.
Alrighty.
So
Greg,
I feel like what
away.
We need to start off with is this coming weekend is a very important weekend, I feel, for the Robert Morris men's team.
Huge.
Huge. As our beloved president would say, huge. It's a huge weekend for Robert Morris men's hockey. But we're not talking about the president. We're talking about the men's hockey team. Boys, what are the outcomes? What could be if Robert Morris plays this weekend well or if Robert Morris plays this weekend bad?
Well, they're in a position to where if things go their way, they're 2 points off the lead. They have Canisius and Holy Cross ahead of them in the conference. They each have 28 points. Robert Morris sitting in third place with 26 points, two above Mercyhurst. They're in position to where they can, if things go their way, I'm not sure right now. I doubt Canisius and Holy Cross drop both games this weekend. However, stranger things I'm sure have happened. Robert Morris is in a great position to position themselves at the top or even closer to the top of the Atlantic Hockey Conference.
Matt, what's your outlook for this weekend?
I don't know. Some of the bigger guys on the team are definitely going to have to step up to get this win. If you're looking at the scoring right now, Brady Ferguson is in second through the Atlantic Hockey Conference. Alex Tonge is third. And then the next name that we have is Timmy Moore. That would be 10th. And that's it. But we have three guys in the top 10, all in Robert Morris, and those guys are definitely going to need to step up and play a big weekend in order to get the wins. And it's not just the big guys. You're going to need everyone to go out there and grind as hard as they can, obviously. But I don't know. I feel like if we can get two big wins here, we being Robert Morris, then it'll be a great weekend, and it'll really set us up for a good look into the postseason.
And, you know, I feel that same way because this weekend, considering it is getting towards the end of the season for the men's team now, this is kind of a crucial time.
It's go time.
It's go time, exactly. I would say the Three Rivers Classic is kind of like the midpoint of the season, the entire season, and then they jump into conference play. So with this season getting caught, or this season coming to a close, this coming weekend is a big weekend. And like we said last week, and Matt just restated, everybody has to be a contributor whenever you're getting deep into the season. You can't have Tonge and Ferguson being the only two that are contributing to the goal scoring factors.
Absolutely. You know, it's going to be tough this weekend. RIT is a good team. RIT beat Robert Morris twice already this year at home in New York. The first game they won, this was back in November, the weekend of November 10th and 11th. RIT won the first game 5-3 and the second game 5-2. So it's not going to be a walk in the park, even though RIT currently is towards the bottom of the conference with 19 points. They're third off the bottom with just Bentley and Sacred Heart below them. I still think it's going to be tough. Certainly, this Robert Morris hockey team has played better hockey. They're on a very good stretch right now. They've, in their last coming back, actually, off of the Three Rivers Classic over break there. They have, let's see, one, two, they have four wins, a tie, and one loss. So they've been pretty solid here over the last past month of hockey.
All right. And then, Matt, what are you, for the whole scoring epidemic right now, with Tonge and Ferguson being second in the AHC, who do you think, other than Timmy Moore, needs to step up in order for the Robert Morris men's team to make a deep run into the postseason?
The second line, without a doubt, you have, what is it, Mike Loria, Spencer Dorowitz, and who's the third on that line? Is it, I want to say Matt Graham?
I think it is Matt Graham.
But I'm not positive, but those guys, they're a really big line. You don't see them as much as you really should in the scoring summaries. They were really good in the early season.
Did you mention Lynch?
Lynch, no, I was getting to that.
Okay.
This is the whole second line right now, but
Is Lynch first or second line? They do it. Schooley does a decent job of rotating those guys through there.
Yeah, he usually
tries to find
a
good
job
mix.
With keeping them alternating between lines.
I think Lynch might be on the top line,
but no matter what line the order is,
yeah,
there's still
missing pieces, without a doubt. And like we close out the season against Air Force again. Last year, Air Force was the only reason that we didn't win Atlantic Hockey, and we didn't make it to the.
Oh, Air Force.
So,
this year isn't as strong as they've been in the past. They're just one spot above RIT with 21 points. So it's a fairly tight conference right now, except for Sacred Heart, who's way down in the basement with just 14 points.
There's a lot
of teams separated
conference.
By like 5 points where a good weekend or a bad weekend can swing you up or down the conference rankings.
Absolutely. And then, like, as we were saying about the conference being tight and Air Force not quite being the team that they were last year, you can also kind of say that about Robert Morris this year. They lost big defensive pieces, such as their captain from last year, Rob Mann, who graduated last year. So on the defensive side of the ice, we understand that the second line needs to step up and help contribute on the goal-scoring side. But whenever we come back towards whoever's in net, whether that be Pickle or Marat, there also needs to be a little bit more defense played there because we talked about it last week. And they get a lot of shots blocked, but there's also a lot of shots that still reach the net, and they are still being outscored in the third period.
For sure. The big two, whenever I think defense in Robert Morris men's hockey, the big two names that come to mind are Eric Israel and Elias Gontus, without a doubt. You can tell when those guys are on the ice because they're not only a lockdown defensive pair to where they shut down all traffic in front of Marat or Pickle, whoever's, or Lucas Meyer, who's ever in net, that night for Bobby Moe, but they really do a great job at transitions, which is something that you don't see unless you're really paying attention to the game. But when they get the puck, they take maybe at the most 5 strides, and then the puck's off their stick, and they're making that lead pass to someone ahead of them to get RMU started and up out of the zone. And that's something that I think is really underrated about that D pair specifically, is that they are a two-way pair without a doubt. They can put the puck in the net, and they can keep it out of ours. And I feel like they are one of the best D pairs that RMU has seen in probably the past, the collective pair, keep in mind, the collective pair over the past probably 4 years.
I really like Bonche in the back. I think he might not have the offensive standing as someone like an Israel, but he is locked down. He blocks shots. He does what he needs to do. He clears out the front of the net, which is huge because – let's face it, if Murat has a clear lane with the puck, it's a lot easier for him to save it than when he has a ton of bodies on top of him. So I think that is a huge aspect.
All right. So now, Matt, going back to what you said about Israel and that pairing there, if you were the coach of Rob Morris Montaki, I should say, would you rather enforce the rest of the defense such as that, try and change the style that they play, or would you rather try to keep that line the way it is and try and find each pair a specific style of play?
You know, that's a big thing that you got to watch out for. You don't want to, if you have a corner piece of a puzzle and you try and put it in the middle, it's not going to fit. You need to realize your team as a coach, which I think Derek Schooley has done a great job at doing here at RMU. But you need to realize the pieces that you're working with, and you need to piece them together so that you can make the puzzle for it. So I don't think that he needs to necessarily change anyone's play styles. I think he just needs to see how they play and work with them a little bit more on how to express that and what scenarios work best for them. Who's going to be a stay-at-home D and who's going to rush the puck a little bit more? You know, you said, Mike, you said Bonje in the back. Well, they have been pairing him with freshman Nick Jenny lately, at least. And Jenny is one of the guys that he's playing, obviously, like a less developed, but like an Israel or a Gontus, where he's still playing defense, but he's not afraid to step in the zone and take a shot. And he has a few goals this season. It's paid off for him big time. Once he was able to finally crack that lineup, he made it in, and he's up on that first D pair with Tonge. And I honestly think that this is great. Or Bonje, my bad. And I feel like this is great for him because this is not only going to, playing with the captain, not only going to raise his playing level, but him being a freshman and making the lineup and holding a big role in the team is going to develop him into a leader for future generations of RMU hockey to come.
Well, I completely agree. It's kind of like fire and ice almost, you know. You have your guy that, you know what, you could go out and be free, like kind of roam around and push up and be aggressive because you know what? He knows he's going to have that rock behind him in Bonche who's just going to lock down the fort and can hold his own by himself. So that helps out a ton with the offense, obviously, rushing the puck and getting up, getting that extra man to create that odd man rush even and help generate a little bit more offense that way.
All right, boys. A great first little chunk of discussion we've had here for the Auburn Morris men's hockey team. Matt, if you want to cue us up for our first break, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
All right. What were we doing, just one song or two?
Just one.
Sure.
Because last week we didn't take a break in the half hour. We're muted. We're fine.
Let's jump in and talk about last weekend's games.
Alright.
Sacred Heart.
Yeah. They had 10 players register a point in the first game.
Jesus Christ. I mean, it's not that hard.
They only scored 4 points. I'm sorry, 9 players. Wait, no, 10 players. 3, 4, 5. Jenny had a point, too.
What? And Jenny got a goal?
That's it. This is actually a perfect example. That first Sacred Heart game. Perfect example of what they need to continue to do.
You want to watch the week it was?
How much time do we have in the summer? No, don't. Because it's going to play.
There's no audio. I'm muted. There's no audio.
Yeah.
Cody Thomas loves dunking, man. Loves
it. Because that's like all
he loves it.
Because he can't shoot for shit.
If you heard the drop for the cross, for the lacrosse one shot, he'd love it. He loves dunking.
That's all he can do. Oh,
that was a nuts.
I love our away unis.
Oh yeah, they're sick. Fastest chest in the league, Frankie Marat. That's sick.
Who was that? Watt?
Yeah, it was Watt's first goal of the season.
Yeah, our last season.
This one, it like the song fades out right here. Then it's a drop right when it's in there. It's sick.
That was a good shot.
Look at that one. Off his skating in. Still going.
And welcome back to Off the Pipe. Now, we were discussing a little bit over the break, and we think we're jumping to the previous weekend of Robert Morris Hockey. And that matchup against
Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart. Thank you for reminding me. A little bit behind there. But they started this five thing. Matt said earlier, I think it was a five-game win streak that they're on now.
Not a five-game win streak. Just the
it's just been a general good stretch of classic hockey.
It had five wins, one tie, and one loss. So they're 5-1-1.
Okay, I misinterpreted that.
Yeah.
But they're on a good stretch right now.
Yeah, for sure.
So, boys, let's jump right into the past weekend. What worked well and what didn't?
Well, they did what they needed to do. Sacred Heart is the worst team in the conference, and they, you know what they did? They went in there and got two victories. They needed the points. They didn't mess around. They had a 4-1 victory and a 3-1 victory, and they did something in that first game that I think we've talked about it a lot that they need to do more of. They had 10 different players register a point in that first game, that 4-1 victory. Michael Loria didn't have a point. Brady Ferguson didn't have a point, and Timmy Moore didn't have a point either. So that is a lot of different scoring from guys that really this year have not been scoring. However, they were kind of able to pick up the slack. And then in that second game, there was still that 3-1 victory. More scoring depth shown, and I think it was two good wins for the team.
You know, I'm going to have to disagree with the fact that they're good wins. They're wins that we needed, yes, but when you're playing the bottom-ranked team in the conference and you beat them 4-1 and 3-1, these are games where I'm expecting, I mean, if you look at our women's team, they're beating teams 12-0, 11-1. Ridiculous scores.
Well, they're
and
also a top 10 team in the country.
I mean, yeah, but I feel like no matter what, whenever you're playing the bottom-ranked team in your division and it's no, on paper, on the ice, it's no questions asked. RMU is the better hockey team out of two. I feel like these are two games where, should it come down to a technicality like it did last year, these are the games that are going to come back and haunt us. The games where we're playing teams that are, without a doubt, worse than us, and we didn't bury them. Sacred Heart, I feel like we could have beat them 6-1. 4-0. You know, just goal differential. That's something that I feel like we need, while we score in big moments, I feel like we just need more scoring throughout, just because, especially after last year, like I said, when we lost on the technicality and it came down to, I believe, was goal differential. We need to just run the teams that are below us into the ground and show them that they are below us. That's my opinion. I mean,
with that statement, I will kind of change my stance, especially now looking at the goalkeeping stats. Murat had to make 26 saves in that second game. They were outshot by Sacred Heart. They were outshot by Sacred Heart. And for your goalie to have to make that many saves, and we talked about this last week, Greg, where RMU gets outshot by their opponents. I believe they were allowing the opponent to get 30 shots a game on Murat. So that's a very large number and a number that needs to come down.
Absolutely. And going back to what you guys just discussed and about how Sacred Heart is the bottom of the division and Robert Morris is towards the top, that's definitely an area on which you would improve on in those games, about trying to keep the opposing team in the defensive zone and in the transition more than they can stay in the attacking zone. And I think that's what Matt was kind of pushing at there, is that this is a great, like, these are great games to kind of work on what you can do as a team and kind of push forward and kind of solidify your fundamentals before you make that later postseason push. And I feel like those are the two games out of any of the games this season that they should have been doing that, especially on the streak that they're on right now. Okay, so now let's jump from more like less of the technical side of the show, and let's just kind of jump into a couple opinions. Being that Robert Morris is on a good streak so late in their season, what are the outlooks for this team going down the line and pushing towards the postseason?
Well, I've been kind of thinking this the whole season. This is a talented team. I believe you have a player in Brady Ferguson who is currently in the NCAA, among active players, the career points leader. So you have an incredible talent with him. And I think this team the whole season, they've had moments I alluded to it last week, that first period of that PPG game against Penn State where they came out of the gates and dominated one of the best teams in the country for a period. That first period of that hockey game, RMU was all over Penn State. Granted, it was only one period, but they were all over that hockey team. This team has flashes where I think they're good, and then other flashes where it's like they're just being smothered right now. So I think if they continue to click and ride the hot streak that they're on now, this weekend, I feel, with these two games against RIT, will make or break this season for them. They could either jump up and get even closer to the top spot in the conference, or they could wilt away and drop 4 points in the conference and slip even further behind. So I think if they could come out this weekend and pick up two wins, they'll be in a great spot. And going forward, I think that'll be a huge boost. And this is a team that could be you need to watch out for going forward.
All right, Matt, you kind of I'm going to get you your prediction here in a second, but you were kind of shaking your head over there while Shuley was jumping through that game.
I thought the PPG Paints game against Penn State was honestly, I mean,
I'm not talking about the whole game. I'm talking that first period.
It still wasn't the best. Like, I feel like we did not play as good as we played in other games. Even in the first period, I feel like we didn't play, not even how we should, but how we can. I feel like against Penn State, we could have done a lot better job. Penn State is a team that goes out there and they grind. Penn State throws every spare puck on the net. You get it anywhere past the red line, it's going a shot on net. That way, if you miss, it's not an icing. But Penn State, that game was, there were a lot of slip-ups on our end.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the first period. The rest of the game, they played like garbage. But for that 20-minute period, they showed that they could compete and play with the top teams in the country.
For 20 minutes.
That's the issue.
But yeah,
this team has flashes where, all right, that's how they should be playing. And then it goes away. So they need to find a way, and hopefully they're kind of getting to that during this stretch of good hockey where they can continue to play as well as they should be playing. And I still don't think after the Sacred Heart weekend we've seen the best out of them yet.
Well, no, there's no way that this weekend was our best weekend here. But if you're looking at us in stats, the stance that we're in right now, Robert Morris, is you're looking at team offense. We're third right now. We have 3.04 goals per game, 2.93 goals against per game, which isn't bad, but like I said, it's one of those things where that's too close of a ratio to get comfortable. You can't sit on it.
And last year, that goals against was closer to 2 and not 3. So that extra goal, how many more wins could that result for your team?
It's one of those things where we can. This is certainly not the end of the Robert Morris hockey team for this year.
All right.
By any means.
I absolutely agree with that. They can definitely make the push into the postseason. They definitely should. They should make a deep push into the postseason this year.
It needs to start this weekend, though, against RIT.
Absolutely. However, I feel like the way they perform this weekend is how the team's going to look the rest of the season, because you're kind of in the groove of things right now. You're kind of finding out who you're playing with well and who you're not playing with well. And if they can figure out how this is working this weekend against RIT, then they can definitely make a deep push into the AMC playoffs and maybe even a little bit into the tournament, in my beliefs. And Matt, I don't think we quite – did we get to your postseason prediction during all that? Or
Not really. I feel like we're going to make a decent push. I wouldn't say Final Four for sure yet. If they come out and they dominate RIT this weekend, then absolutely. But this weekend, like you guys have said, is really going to determine not just how the team does, because stranger things have happened in the world of sports, but what we expect the team to do. So I feel like a pretty decent push is going to happen one way or another, but I feel like if we come out and, like we said, if we grind and do what we have to do for 60 minutes, not just 20, for 60 minutes, then I feel like we can definitely make a deep push and maybe even get a Final Four appearance out of the Robert Morris
team. So, Matt, what you're saying is they're going to have to tune in next week to find out what happened with the two games against RIT and see. We could really break down from there after this weekend what we truly think this team is going to do going forward. I'm Michael Schulley.
I'm Greg Sutton.
And I'm Matt Simkovic.
And this has been Off the Pipes.